I invite your attention today to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13. We start a new portion of study in the Desiring God series. This focus this morning is desiring God through His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13. And I would encourage you keep your Bibles open because we're going to use them quite a bit today. And today, the prayer is to God be the glory, that the Word of God comes to us in power, that it will point hearts toward God, and that all hearts will respond as God leads. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3. I put the wrong thing up, didn't I? That's my fault. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 13. All right? Verse 13 says, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just praise you because you are God. And today we approach your throne of grace, first of all with thanksgiving, thankful for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for the salvation that was bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary so that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We thank you for your presence in this service this morning. And we pray now, Lord, that you would speak through your word, your message, your gospel, that you would be declared in all clarity and with all boldness. And that you'll give us hearts to receive your word, Lord, and to respond to your word. Thank you for your goodness toward us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, the Word of God. Now, I want you to understand, we're not going to do the lot of figures and facts. You know, Bible is 66 books written by approximately 40 authors over a period of 1,500. That's not the point of this study. Okay? The point of this study is really, how does this apply to you? Is it really the Word of God to you? Well, I believe with all my heart it is. I believe it is a sword that divides even soul and spirit. And if you will open your heart to this, don't listen to a preacher, don't even listen to me. Expect and demand to hear from God. That's my goal from you, or goal for you. But there is a problem with that goal, and that problem is that Paul, writing to young Timothy here, he says that deception will grow worse and worse. And actually there in verse 13, he said evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Problem, of course, being evil. Evil men and imposters who set out with the express purpose of leading people away from God. That's the problem. Just as it was a problem in Timothy's day, it is still a problem today. As a matter of fact, we live in a culture of experts. Have you noticed that? There are a lot of experts in the world today. Things, experts in children, the subject of children. And they'll tell you how you should raise your children and how to discipline your children and all that. And you know, funny thing is, a lot of those experts have never had children. Until you've had children and raised them, I don't really care what you think, right? You can't be an expert if you've never been there and done that. Got marriage experts. You know, can do all this marriage counseling. And they'll tell you how to make marriages work. And you look back at them and they've been married 5, 6. But they're the expert. Mostly because they have some degree behind their name. We have financial experts. They can tell you how to manage your money and how to grow your money. The problem is that many of those financial experts base their philosophy wholly and completely upon greed. And let me tell you, there has to be more to money than greed, the desire for more. So here's my opening advice to you. Before you follow any experts, check the source of their standards. Where did they get their philosophy? Why do they say what they say? And here's the reason why. We know that the Bible being the Word of God, we have instruction in everything that we need. And the first instruction I'm going to give you, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Turn there with me if you would. God has something to say about experts. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 14. Now, most of the time we use this in marriage, and it's good advice for marriage, but it's advice for life. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're told, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" This is not just for marriage. This is life. And if you're following someone that has not built their standards upon the foundation of the Word of God, beloved, you have nothing in common with that individual. As a matter of fact, he's here and you're here. I'm amazed how that we just seem to follow anybody who declares themselves to be an expert. The problem is there are evil men and there are imposters. We'll take this even a step farther. I think evil men and imposters, actually that phrase goes together. But the word imposter, it means to deceive someone by persuasive and or loud speech. To deceive, it's not playing a game or pretending to be someone like that you're not, like we would actually think. It's to deceive based on persuasive words or loud words. Now I want to tell you another thing about deception and what you need to know. Just because a man calls himself a preacher does not mean he is a man from God. Alright? I mean, you know, we get that diploma from so-and-so seminary, and a lot of those diplomas they can order online. It's not that big a deal. So that we can hang our shingle and say, "Well, I'm a preacher." Yeah, so what? Just because a man is loud does not make him a preacher. You've heard people say, "Boy, I like those preachers who jump up and down and get loud and excited." You'll notice I'm not doing much jumping up and down today, right? But listen. It doesn't make him a preacher because he can jump up and down and get loud. It doesn't make him a preacher because he can hold your attention. You know, there are some people who can just tell you stuff and they just grab you at the beginning and don't let you go until the end. That doesn't make him a preacher. It doesn't make him a preacher because he's nice and welcoming to everyone and loves everybody. That doesn't make him a preacher. Be careful. He'll go a step farther. Just because a man calls himself a scholar does not mean he's intelligent. There are a lot of diplomas hanging on the wall of people who have absolutely no sense. And I don't know how else to put it. Okay? I'm not trying to be gruff. I'm not trying to hurt him. I just look and I think, you know, they have their doctorate degree. That should mean something. It does not. You want to know if you can trust... You want to know if you can trust somebody? Here's the deal. Teacher at school, professor at school, a doctor at school. Can you trust that individual? Yeah. Well, here's the start. Here's the start. Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I don't care what degree you put on your wall. If you say there is no God, you are not intelligent. Right? So what I'm saying is, do not buy into the program. What you have to do, what we have to do as children of God, is we have to test the program. We have to test the leaders. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. We're told how to do that. It says, 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's a lot of people out there who are not in it for your good, for your well-being. There are a lot of people out there that will lead you away from God. Do not get in that program. Listen, I know we are surrounded by a world of unbelievers. I know that we have to live in the world. But we are not to be of the world. Okay? Don't buy into that program, is what I'm saying. That's how Paul opens this instruction to Timothy there in verse 13, which says, but Timothy, man, there's a lot of evil men and imposters, deceiving people and being deceived. But, and I love this part, verse 14. But you, there's a different standard here. Okay? They're all out there. But you, Timothy, you, Doug Hambrick, you, Victory member, you, believer, you must continue in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul opens with, this is what's going on out there. But he said, this is for you, Timothy. Timothy, this is what you have to continue in the things you have learned. This is where it gets interesting, in that Timothy grew up in church. He was a church boy. Okay? He was raised by his grandmother, by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, over in chapter 1 of the same book. And so they taught him. Timothy would have been one of those church boys that knew all the Bible stories. He could, I'm sure, have told you about Noah and Abraham and Moses and King David. And he knew all the Bible stories. And then he went to the advanced school of Paul. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul, who got what he got by being in the wilderness with God for 3 years. Right? And so he goes through, let's say, seminary with Paul. Paul calls him his son of the faith. And so Timothy has been well trained his entire life. And now he faces opposition. Now he faces people who don't want to listen to him preach because he's too young. Now he faces people who want to argue with him, and they don't want to hear what he has to preach because they want to hear fables and tales and be entertained. Now he's facing discouragement as a young pastor, and he's having to deal with it. And now Paul is telling him, look, Timothy, I know it's hard. I've been there and done that. It is hard. But when it gets hard, Timothy, you do not turn away from what you know. You turn to what you know. Your mama, your grandmother, they raised you, teaching you the Bible. I have taught you, Paul's saying. You know what you need to do. You know how to bear up and how to take it when it gets tough. Don't give in. Listen, if you have a Bible background, praise God for that Bible background. If your mom and daddy raised you in church, praise God for your mom and daddy. Okay? I know what the world says. The world says, well, they just didn't let you give you a chance to choose for yourself, and you were indoctrinated. I hope you were indoctrinated in the Word of God. I'm going to say this with love. I want everybody to listen to me. If you were raised in church, your parents were not wrong, as the world would tell you. They did not raise you in church to punish you. Do you know why they made you? If you were like, you know, looking back, I loved the home I was raised in. We went to church. I was not given a choice. We got up. I didn't ask, are we going to church today? I got up, got ready, and we went to church. Right? Now the world would say, now that's you should have had a choice. No, I shouldn't. Why? Because I was too young to choose. And my mom and dad cared enough for me to make those important decisions for me that would affect me for the rest of my life. See, my mom and dad, they took seriously the book of Proverbs 22, verse 6. Raise up a child, or train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. See, they knew I would come to a point one day where I needed the Word of God. And I have not just come to a point at one time. I've come to the point multiple times in life where all I had to hang on to was the Word of God. And I had the Word of God because I was taught it from my youth up. They weren't trying to, you know, I want you to understand, they weren't trying to ruin your life. They were trying to help you make it through life. Mamas and daddies back in those days taught you how to act in church too, didn't they? They taught us reverence when we come into the presence of God. I think that's something that's lacking now. You know, I don't get me, please do not misinterpret what I'm about to say. I love children. But children need guidance. And I appreciate it when moms and dads, they say, whoa, don't you run in the church. You know, don't cut up in the sanctuary. Don't turn flips over the pews and all. That's just discipline. That's teaching. And I appreciate that from our parents so very much that you care enough to teach your kids. Listen, if your kid's making a noise, you know, Brother Doug, I've had parents come say, Brother Doug, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm not. Bring those kids in here. They've got to learn. They have to learn. Maybe they were a little loud. If I can't get over that, I've got the problem, not your kids, okay? Teach them. I recall when I was a young man, I was in church, I'm talking a young man, and there were two pretty girls, teenage girls, sitting behind me. I don't know, I was 8 or 10 years old. And I remember turning around and winking at those girls. My mama looked at me. If this ear's a little long, she turned me around. Sit down. I turned around for a minute and I started looking back there again. Started winking again and smiling, you know. These were teenage girls, and they're paying me, a little, I don't know, 8 or 10 year old boy, they're paying me attention. I'm eating it up. That second time, me and Mama had a trip outside. When we came back in, I didn't turn around again. But you know what? I love my Mama for it. Because it taught me a lesson looking back now. See, I know how to act in the house of God. There is a standard of reverence that should be present as we gather together. They taught me. You know what else they taught me? They taught me to respect authority. I was raised up in a day that if you got in trouble at school, what happened? You got it when you got home. And there wasn't any hiding it. It always got back to them. If I got a paddling at school, you can bet the one I got at school was nothing compared to the one I get home. Why did I say all this? I say it because I want you to understand, if you were raised in church, if you were taught to be reverent, If you were taught respect for authority, if you'll look around, that's what's missing in our culture today. You see, Mom and Dad taught me that I respect my elders. They taught me that if a police officer were to stop me, you know what I said to that police officer? Yes, sir. It's called reverence. Well, you know, they're violating my rights. I didn't have any rights. I didn't know what rights were. I just knew that, boy, I wished I hadn't been speeding because they caught me, right? And my response was, yes, sir. And looking back, you know where it all came from? It came from the Bible. When parents were using the Bible as the standard for raising kids, we were a different culture. You know why my parents taught me to respect authority? Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Well, I don't have to, you know, I don't have to respect a police officer. I don't have to respect the President of the United States. I don't have to respect those that are older than me. Yes, you do. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authority. Let me tell you something about a police officer. If he stops you, he is the governing authority. Don't badmouth the guy. Don't give him a hard time. He's doing his job. You just respect his authority. Let me hear an amen. And it don't matter if you're 16 or if you're 76. We respect authority. Moms and dads taught us that. For there is no authority except from God. Do you believe that? Whether you agree with the President of the United States or not, he's the one God's got in there right now. Respecting. Whether or not you agree with the governor, he's the one God's got in there. Respect him. See, this is what we were taught when we were younger. This stuff came from the Bible, and that's what I want you to understand. You see, it came from a generation of people. A people who built this country. A people who made this country what it is. What am I saying? I'm saying our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, they're the ones who fought World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. They're the ones who believed there was a right and a wrong. They were the ones who were willing to discipline their children when they did wrong. They were the ones that built this country. And they built it based upon the foundations of the Word of God. That's where they got their... That was their source. They didn't get it from some smart expert at a college somewhere who wrote a book. They got it from the God of the book. And that's how we have to look at the Word of God. Right? That's how we have to view the Word of God. We have to take it. And I'll tell you something else, okay? It doesn't matter what your parents taught you. It doesn't matter what your parents believed. Somewhere along the way, you personally have to take it and embrace it for yourself. Okay? You can talk about believing the Bible all day long and being raised in church all day long, but if you believe the Bible, if you embrace the Bible, you do what the Bible says. Because it's the Word of God. Oh, I appreciate my parents. I appreciate my grandparents because they were godly people. You know what? They just pointed me in the right direction. I had to embrace it for myself. And that's my challenge to you today. Hey, let's take this for what it is. It is the Word of God. Which brings us to the last part. All Scripture. Verse 16. You know what that word all means? Just what it says. All. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is given by inspiration. That word, inspiration, means God breathed. Listen, the Apostle Paul didn't just one day sit down and say, I've preached so many messages, I'm going to write a book. He didn't. God spoke to him and told him what to write. When Moses was writing Genesis and Exodus, and when he was writing, he didn't just say, man, I've had such good life experience, I'm going to put it down on paper so people will have something to refer to. No, God breathed it and told him what to write. You see, what I want you, I guess the main thing I want you to get this morning is that this book that we call a Bible came from the lips of Almighty God Himself. It was God breathed and written by men of old. And if you believe it was God-breathed, then you've got to accept it for what it is. You can't take bits and pieces. You can't take, I think we're just New Testament people. We don't, that Old Testament is for, no, it's still applicable. Now, Jesus fulfilled the law? Yes, He did. But He never said, hey, throw out the Old Testament, it's not any good anymore. As a matter of fact, we're told it was given for our example. So we go back and learn from them. Some people are still stuck in the Old Testament, never getting the new. But But what we have to understand is this and all of it was God breathed. And when He said it, He meant what He said. Not just part, all of it. And it doesn't matter if I like it or if I don't. It's God-given. And God's right. And here's the real good part I want you to get today. Every writer has a purpose for writing. Some people write to tell a story. Some people write to share experiences. Do you know why God wrote through these men of old? I'll tell you. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. Do you know what that word profitable means? Beneficial. God wrote for your benefit. He didn't write because He didn't have anything else to do. He didn't write because He wanted a New York bestseller. He wrote for your benefit. So as you look into the pages of the Word of God, you have to understand, this isn't about messing up your life. It's about benefiting your life. It's to help you. I mean, to truly help you. All Scripture is for your benefit. And it is good for what? For doctrine? I mean, for teaching. It gives you something to teach. You want to teach your kids something good? Teach them the Bible. And let me tell you, I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm just not smart enough to in Bible to teach my kids. Yes, you are. If you can read, you're smart enough to teach your kids. You are. Just read them a Bible story. It's good for teaching. It's good for rebuke. You know what that word rebuke means, right? It means to stand against evil. I want to tell you something else. Christians are not supposed to be spineless. Okay? There are times that we have to take a stand. There are times that we have to stand up and say, whoa, no, I'm not going to be a part. Okay? There are times that we have to stand up against false doctrine and say, no, the Bible says. You remember Jesus? When He turned over the tables of the money changers and released the doves in the temple? I bet there's some old guy over there saying, well, Jesus shouldn't really, He really should have been more nice about that. No. Well, I'm sure somebody said that, but see, there was a time to stand up. But when you stand, you better be standing on the Word of God. Because your opinion doesn't matter. Your likes and dislikes doesn't matter. It matters what God says. Because at the end of the day, I can talk to you about Scripture. And I know there's something, I don't pretend to have the market cornered on Scripture. But at the end of the day, if my stand is the Bible says this and that's my stand, then I stand with all assurance and comfort that I need. Even when people might stand against me. It's good for rebuke. It's good for correction. We love to be corrected, don't we? Sure, just examine me. My life's an open book and correct away. No, we don't. But let me encourage you. When you read the Word of God, be sure and ask, how does this apply to me? Because so often, and I'll be honest, I will tell you straight up front, as I studied for this message, it seemed like every time I turned around, I wanted to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. But you know, the idea behind correction, it's not just being negative and fault-finding. The idea behind correction is improvement. The Bible will make you a better person. That's the idea behind that word. It will make you a better person. And don't we all want to be better? I mean, and then finally, for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness, that's basically what God expects. Have you ever wondered what God expects? What does God want from me? God's already told you what He wants. I think a lot of people, you know, and I hear people, I'm not sure what God's got for me in my life. Well, let me tell you, I know. This is it. Do what's in here. And I'm not just talking about the thou shalt nots, the don't do's. I'm talking about the do's. That you love one another. That I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. That I share Christ because the Bible tells us we're supposed to. That I study and learn of Christ because the Bible tells me it's going to make you better. And you will never, listen, you will never get into the Word of God until you decide it's going to be good for you. You'll watch TV all the time. You'll fill your time with other stuff. But you won't get into the Word of God until you understand it really is good for me. Finally, verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, that man of God, the phrase man of God, Timothy was a preacher. He was a pastor. Paul's writing this to kind of fire Timothy up and encourage him a little bit. But let me tell you, that phrase does not leave everybody else out. The idea behind that phrase is preparedness. Okay? Being ready for what you're going to face. Being ready to answer God's call when He leads you in a specific direction. That's the idea behind that last phrase, being equipped for every good work. Complete. And I want to tell you something. You do not know what you're going to face tomorrow. You have no idea what you're going to face tomorrow. Interesting thing happened to me this week. As part of my weekly routine, often daily routine, I try to go exercise each day. And some of you are wondering, yeah, this is the result. And I walk on the treadmill a little while and I'll run. You know, kind of get the cardio going. So about 20 minutes into that workout, I'm happy. I'm feeling great. And my leg popped. And I honestly thought somebody kicked me. And so my foot quit working. I caught myself on the side of the treadmill. And I'm looking around. You know, first thought is, we fixing to go at it, whoever did that. But I looked around, there wasn't anybody around me. You know? Come to find out that's what happens when you tear, pop a tendon, whatever. And but I was in the middle of just feeling so very good. And in a split second, I went to being hurting, couldn't walk out of the gym on my own. Beth was there. She practically had to carry me out. I'm leaning on her to get out of the place. It happened that quick. And I say all that, I'm fine. A week or so, we're going to be running races again, right? But I say that because you better be prepared for what Satan's going to throw at you next. Satan is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he would like nothing more than to ruin your life. Now, I look at Peter, you know, and Peter's failure. He wasn't ready. You've got to be equipped before you do spiritual battle. You cannot be equipped apart from the Word of God. You may think, I'll never use this. But you may be surprised when tomorrow changes that quickly. You need Jesus. The way to know Jesus is through the Word of God. You need God. The way to know God is through the Word of God. You can set 20 minutes through it preaching. You can go through all that motion. But if you do not yourself get into this book, you're not going to be equipped. It's amazing that how God equips you for what you need because of what you're going to face. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've been in a study and God points something out and the next day I have to use it. Why? Because God was getting me ready. But if there's no Bible, you can't be ready. The challenge of this study is going to be that this become not just important, but that it become vital in our daily lives. That we get into the Word of God with a fervor like we've never had before. You say, Brother Doug, I don't understand the Bible. Get you a Bible you can understand, but get into it. Get into it. You cannot be ready apart from the Word of God. Now I want to tell you the good news of the Word of God. Jesus loves you. Right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That talks to all of us. That means we've all failed. None of us are worthy of God. None of us are worthy of heaven. But the good news is Jesus Christ came to this world to give His life to pay because I'm a sinner. And He paid for my sin. He paid for your sin also. And now He offers salvation to you so that all you do, He said, if whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The invitation's in the Bible. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So many people are looking, you know, trying to figure out, how do I have that peace? How do I have that satisfaction? How do I have that assurance? The only avenue to that peace and assurance is 100% Jesus Christ. Have you received Him as Savior? If not, I'm going to ask you to come. We're going to have two songs. We're going to close the service with two songs. Dale's going to lead us in those songs. And I'm going to ask you to come. Let me lead you to Jesus. Maybe you're here. You're at a crossroads in life and you need leading. The altar's open during these two songs. Maybe you're here and there's another spiritual need. You need one of the staff members to pray with you. We'll all be up here waiting to minister and to pray with you however we can. But make no mistake, whatever your problem is today, Jesus is the answer. Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We're encouraged by Your Word and we're reminded how much we need Your Word. Help us, Lord, that we may dedicate our life to the study and the knowledge of You through Your Word. So often we talk a good talk. Lord, help us to walk the walk. Help us to place a high value and importance upon Your precious Word. And now, Lord, we pray that You will move among us and give us the heart to respond. In Jesus' name I pray.